31.
Wax, you gotta say this.
Wax tipped his head back, bleary-eyed. These bunks were not particularly pleasant, but at least the airship flew in a calm, smooth manner. That was nice, as the skimmer had always felt, as if it were one gust of wind away from plowing nose-first into a hillside. Wayne hung halfway out of the room's large window. "That window opens?" Wax asked, surprised.
"Any window opens," Wayne said, "if you push hard enough. Look, you gotta see this."
Wax sighed, climbing up and leaning out of the window beside Wayne. Beneath them, Ellendale spread out as a vast sea of lights.
"Like rivers of fire," Wayne mumbled. "Look how it follows patterns. Rich areas more lit, roads all in lines. Beautiful."
Wax grunted.
"That's all you can say, mate."
"Wayne, I see this basically every night."
"Now, that ain't fair. You should feel guilty."
"For being a coin shot?"
"For cheating at life, Wax."
"How about I feel appreciative instead?"
"Suppose that'll do."
Wax settled down on his bunk, then pulled on his boots, doing the laces. He ached like a man beaten senseless. He wished he could blame the strain of the last few days, but he'd held the bands of mourning and had been healed completely. That meant these aches came merely from sleeping a few hours on this bunk. Rusts. He was getting old. Upon considering that, however, he found that mortality didn't frighten him as it once had. "We should get up to the bridge," he suggested, standing. It had been a full day since they'd left the mountains. They'd stopped at a town to telegraph ahead at Wax's insistence, then waited until the next night to fly the rest of the way. He had had no intention of bringing a massive flying warship anywhere near the city without at least giving them warning first. Jordis had been amenable, once he'd promised her supplies for their trip home in repayment. Marcy worried about the captain, he knew, but he had looked into the woman's eyes behind the mask. She was a soldier, a killer, despite her claims of hers being a simple trading vessel. She knew. Wax had held the bands. He could have swept the Malwish away and stolen their ship without a second thought. Instead, he'd given in to Steris's compromise. Strong words notwithstanding, Jordis realized she'd gotten more out of this deal than she had any reason to expect. Wayne joined him outside their room, and they stepped aside as a few wearied airmen passed. He couldn't see their faces, but could read a world of emotions from their hunched backs and subdued speech. "They've been broken," Wayne whispered, looking over his shoulder as the airmen continued on. "Ain't fair what happened to these folks, Wax."
"Is life ever fair?"
"It has been to me," Wayne said. "More than fair, I reckon, considering what I deserve."
"Do you want to talk about it?" Wax asked.
"What?"
"You used a gun, Wayne."
"Bah! That was a shotgun. Barely counts."
Wax rested a hand on his friend's shoulder. Wayne shrugged.
"Guess my body figured, what the hell?"
"I thought it meant you'd forgiven yourself."
"Nah," Wayne said. "I was just real mad at your sister."
"You knew, didn't you?" Wax asked, frowning. "That she'd heal?"
"Well, I didn't want to kill someone in cold blood."
"That's good, I suppose.
But there weren't no fire around to light her with first."
"Wayne."
The shorter man sighed.
"I saw the metal mines peeking out of her sleeves. Figured if you're gonna give yourself one power from a ferrochemist, you'd want to be able to heal. I ain't gonna kill your sister, mate. But I didn't mind making her jump a bit, and I needed Milan's spikes."
Wayne's gaze grew distant.
"Should have stayed there, I suppose. To stop her from running, you know. But I wasn't of sound mind, so to speak. I thought you were dead, mate. Really thought it. And I kept thinking to myself, would Wax kill her for real? Or would he give her another chance like he gave me? So, I let her be. I stayed my hand 'cause it was the last thing I could do for you. Does that make sense?"
Wax squeezed Wayne's shoulder.
Thank you. I'm glad you're learning.
It felt disingenuous to say that when inside, in truth, he wished Wayne had stripped off her metal mines and left her a frozen corpse. Wayne grinned. Wax nodded in the direction the airmen had gone.
I'll meet you up there. Going to go fetch your woman, Wayne said. She's going to have a hard time adjusting to life back here, away from her native habitat to the frozen, icy, desolate wastes up...
Wayne, Wax interrupted, soft but firm.
Hmm?
Enough.
I was just...
Enough. Wayne stopped with his mouth open, then licked his lips and nodded.
Right then. See you up above in a few, mate.
We'll be right along. Wayne scampered off toward the bridge. Wax trailed through the hallway, heading down several doors to the room Steris and Marisy had been sharing. He raised his hand to knock, but it was cracked, so he peeked in. Steris lay on a bunk, wrapped in a blanket, sleeping softly. There was no sign of Marisy. She'd mentioned wanting to watch the approach to the city from the bridge. He hesitated at the door, watching her sleep. He almost left. She'd been through so much these last few days. She had to be exhausted. Once they reached Ellendale, they'd still have to unload the prisoners and bring the supplies on board. It could be hours before the ship had to leave. She could sleep a little longer, couldn't she? The door creaked as he leaned against it, and Steris started awake. Her eyes found him immediately. Then she smiled, relaxing, and huddled up against her pillow. She was wearing a travel dress under the blanket. Wax stepped into the room and took a seat on the bank across from Steris. There was so little space in this room that his knees touched her bunk after he sat, and these were the rooms the airman considered large. He leaned forward, taking Steris's hand in his. She squeezed it, eyes closed once more, and they sat there, still. Everyone else could wait a few minutes.
Thank you, Wax said softly.
For what? She said.
Coming with me.
I didn't do much.
You were extremely helpful at the party, Wax said. And your negotiations with the Malwish. Steris, that was incredible.
Perhaps, she said. But I still feel that I was basically luggage for most of the trip.
He shrugged. Steris, I think we're all like that. Shuffled from place to place by duty, or society, or God himself. It seems like we're just along for the ride, even in our own lives. But once in a while, we do face a choice, a real one. We may not be able to choose what happens to us, or where we'll stop, but we point ourselves in a direction. He squeezed her hand. You pointed yourself toward me.
Well, she said, smiling. Being near you is generally the safest place.
He cupped her face with his hand, all calloused and rough.
Another adventure.
Eventually, an airman came looking for them, and Wax reluctantly stood, helping Steris up. Then they walked, arm in arm, through the hallways of the ship and up to the bridge where the others waited. Here, Wax was able to appreciate what Wayne had seen. With the panoramic view from the bridge, the city really was gorgeous at night.
Is this a sight that will become commonplace? Wax thought as Steris squeezed his arm, grinning at the sight.
This airship technology was new, but not many years had passed since he'd seen his first motor car on the road. Marisy had been directing Captain Jordis through the city. Wax couldn't read anything in the captain's posture or those of her crew. Were they impressed by the size of the city and the height of the skyscrapers? Or were these things commonplace in the south? They approached Ahlstrom Tower, and Wax could only imagine the stories this would prompt in the broadsheets the next morning. Good. He hated subterfuge. Let the people of Ellendale know to a man that the world had just become a much larger place. Ahlstrom Tower, in which Wax had an ownership interest, had a flat top. The captain had assured him that she could land her ship on a nail, so long as the head is smooth enough.
True to her word, they set it down.
"You're certain you don't want to stay?"
Marcy asked Jordis.
"Visit our city? Find out what we're actually like?"
"No, thank you."
The words sounded forced to Wax. But who was to say, with the accent muddying things?
"We will take your offer of supplies and be away tonight."
Time to debark. Together, the others filing after, Wax and Steris made their way through the halls again.
"It almost feels," Steris said softly, "like this entire experience was a dream. I need to write it all down quickly, lest it fade."
Wax found himself nodding as he thought of his meeting with Harmony. The hallway led to a junction where the wall had opened and a long docking bridge had been settled in place, leading down to the rooftop. Below, Wax picked out several figures craning their necks to look at the ship. Governor Aradel had come in person. Alex stood at the door, and he lifted his mask as Wax approached. No bow or nod, just the mask lift. Among this people, perhaps that was the same thing, as behind him the other airmen did the same.
"Mighty one,"
Alex said to Wax,
"may your next fire be known to you."
"And you, Alec."
"Oh, it is," he said with a grin. "For my next fire is home, yeah?"
He looked to Marcy, and then reached up and removed his mask, the broken one, which he had glued. He held it out with two hands, which caused a few gasps behind him.
"Please,"
Alec said. The word had more accent to it than the way he'd been speaking before. The captain, who had not lifted her mask to Wax, grew stiff at the gesture. Marcy hesitated, then accepted the mask.
"Thank you."
"Thank you, Miss Marcy," Alec said. "For life."
He took a flat, unornamented mask from his waist and pulled it on by the leather strap. It was really nothing more than a curved piece of wood with holes for the eyes.
"I look forward to my homecoming, but my next fire after that may be here again. I plan to take you up on your offer to visit this city."
"So long as you bring some more chalk," Marcy said, "you can visit any time you like."
Wax smiled, and then the five of them relinquished their weight medallion metal mines to the captain, a formality they'd been instructed was customary. Jordis had already presented Wax with one of each, translation and heat storing, as a gift for him to keep. Wayne had likely stolen another set, though Wax intended to wait until they were off the ship to ask. Wax led them down the gangway, Steris on his arm.
"Seriously, Waxillium," Marcy said, walking up beside him, "you need to import that chocolate of theirs. I don't know what they put in it, but it's amazing. You think the airships are going to be big? Wait until you taste this stuff."
"Hey," Wayne said, pulling up on his other side, but then twisting his neck to look at the people in the ship behind them.
"Marcy, I think that pilot fellow fancies you."
"Thank you," Marcy said, "for lending us your brilliant powers of observation, Wayne."
"That could be useful politically," Steris noted.
"Please," Marcy said. "He's practically a child compared to me. And don't you snicker."
"I wouldn't dare," Wax said, eyes ahead. He didn't miss how reverently Marcy carried the mask, however. Ahead, a group of the governor's aides and guards clustered together in a protective bubble, as if they could stave off the weirdness before them, and what it represented, through collective body heat. Aradel himself stood apart, as if he'd pushed out of the group. Wax strolled up to him, Steris on his arm, and waited.
"Damn," Aradel finally said. "I did warn you," Wax replied.
Aradel shook his head in awe, eyes wide.
"Well, maybe this will distract everyone from the disaster you all started in New Saren."
"Bad?"
Steris asked. Aradel grunted.
"Senate's had my balls over the fire for 2 days straight, screaming about war and irresponsible leadership. As if I ever had any influence over you people."
He started, finally ripping his gaze from the airship, and coughed, as if realizing what he'd just said and whom he'd said it to. Wax smiled. Aradel was blunt, but usually displayed more tact than this. You couldn't go far as a constable without some understanding of how to deal with people's egos.
"Apologies, Lady Harms," he said. "Ladrian, I need to hear what happened in Nusairin. The honest truth of it, from your own mouth."
"You'll have it," Wax promised. "Tomorrow."
"But..."
"Governor," Wax said, "I appreciate your position, but you have no idea what we've been through these last few days. My people need rest. Tomorrow, please." Aradel grunted.
"Fine."
"Did you prepare the thing I requested?" Wax asked.
"It's below,"
Aradel said, turning back toward the airship.
"In the penthouse."
The governor took a deep breath, looking at that enormous airship again. Constable General Reddy had led a group of constables up to accept the transfer of prisoners. Wax could now see that the ship had landed only half on the building. One fan spun lazily, keeping the ship in place.
"Likely done that way on purpose," he thought of the landing, "as a message. The crew wants to remind us that while we might get this technology soon, we'll still be many years behind them in its use." "I think we'll be fine," Wax said to Aradel. "If the outer cities had thoughts about attacking us, I suspect this might stall them.
Spread the knowledge that an airship flew through central Ellendale and let me off, then left peaceably."
"We have initial treaties in place, Your Honor," Steris added, "favorable to us for trade. That should give the Hawks pause, and could buy us time to smooth things over."
"Yes, perhaps," Aradel said. "It's going to be a tough medal for the Senate to swallow, though, Ladrian. Not the airship itself, but the fact that I'm apparently just going to let it fly off."
He hesitated.
"I haven't told them what you said about the other item."
"Bands of mourning," Wax said. Aradel nodded, too politic to say what Wax was certain he was thinking. "What have you gone and done to me this time, Ladrian?"
"Milon," Wax asked, "would you mind taking over here?"
"Sure,"
she said, striding toward them. She wore an outfit borrowed from the Southlanders, a man's breeches and boots that went up to mid-calf. She rested an arm on the governor's shoulder.
"Holy one,"
Aradel said, his voice strained but reverent. He eyed Wax.
"You realize precisely how unfair it is to deal with you when you can fall back on heavenly messengers to talk you out of trouble?"
"That's nothing," Wax said, guiding Steris toward the steps down. "Ask me sometime about the conversation I had with God the last time I died."
"That was vicious," Steris said as they reached the steps.
"Nonsense," Wax said. "He's a politician now. He needs to practice being thrown off balance in conversations. Helps him prepare for debates and such."
She eyed him.
"I'll be better," he promised, holding the door open for her.
Marcy moved to join them, but Wayne caught her by the arm and shook his head.
"Better?" Steris asked from the stairwell. "So this means no more complaining about parties?"
"Of course I'll gripe," Wax said, following her into the stairwell, leaving the others behind. "It's a defining character feature. But I'll try and confine the worst of it to you and Wayne."
"And I," Steris said, "shall promise to be properly amazed by your exploits saving everyone from everything."
She smiled at him.
"And to always carry a few vials of metal with me, just in case. By the way, where are we going?"
He grinned, guiding her down to the top floor of the skyscraper, a regal penthouse that, currently, was unoccupied, the tenants having moved to Elmsdale for an extended holiday. Seated in a chair in the hall outside the apartment proper was a tired-looking man in the garb of a survivorist priest. His formal mist cloak, really more of a shawl, worn over robes adorned with stitching up the sleeves representing scars. Steris looked to Wax, curious.
"I was wondering, Steris," Wax said, "if you'd be willing to be my bride."
"I've already agreed."
"Yes, but last time I asked with an expectation of a contract," Wax said. "It was the lord of a house asking a woman of means for a union. Well, that request stands, and thank you. But I'm asking again. It's important to me. Will you be my bride? I want to be married to you. Right now. Before the survivor and that priest. Not because words on a paper say we have to. But because we want to.
He took her by the hand and spoke more softly.
I'm painfully tired of being alone, Stairs. It's time I admitted that. And you? Well, you're incredible. You truly are.
Stairs started sniffling. She pulled her hand free of his and wiped her eyes.
Is that good crying or bad?
Wax asked. All these years dealing with women, and he still couldn't tell the difference sometimes.
Well, this wasn't on any of my lists, you see.
Ah,
he felt his heart lurch.
And,
she continued,
I can't remember a time when I missed something for one of my lists, only to have it be so wonderful.
She nodded, red-nosed and sniffly.
And it is. Thank you, Lord Waxillium.
She paused.
But tonight? So soon? Don't the others deserve to attend a wedding?
They did attend one, Wax said. It's not our fault there wasn't a marriage at the end. So, what do you think? I mean, if you're tired from the trip, don't let me pressure you. I just thought...
In response, she kissed him.